From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Collisions involving cars, pedestrians, and bicycles are on the rise across the U.S., including in Georgia. The Atlanta Regional Commission reported a 53% jump in such collisions in Metro Atlanta between 2006 and 2015, when some 2,500 were reported in the 20-county metro region. The number of serious injuries or deaths over that time went up by 26%. Thomas Wheatley is articles editor for Atlanta Magazine, and he reported on the issue for the magazine. Thomas, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. That's a little staggering. 26% increase in serious injuries and fatalities tied to these collisions. How much of this is attributed to distracted driving by people looking at their phones?
Well, distracted driving, it plays a role. There are a lot of factors at play, however. One is population growth. There are more people, so more people are driving. Another is, in a good economy, more people drive, more people have to go to work, more people are moving goods. But a big factor, a lot of experts say, it has to do with just the roads that we drive on, the way that they're designed, and especially the roads in Sunbelt states, including Georgia, which are really known for sprawl. We build roads that kind of take us further and further out, farther and farther out. And the main design factor in those is just moving people as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm. So they're designed for speed. In fact, that was probably one of the most disturbing things that I saw in your article. Rebecca Cerna, she's executive director of the Atlanta Bicycle Coalition, told you our streets are dangerous by design.
Yes.
And now, mind you, she's an advocate for cycling. But is that how it's looked at overall?
Yes, very much so. And especially among advocates like Cerna, like Sally Flox from PEDS, which is a pedestrian safety organization that does a lot of work in this area as well. Roads are really designed, especially roads in Metro Atlanta, they're more designed for automobiles. They're not as much designed for people walking or people on bicycles. Not to say that planners do not care about those people, but oftentimes when you're looking at these roads, you're making cost cuts. You're thinking, okay, what do we need to do to kind of get this to the finish line? And it's all about, okay, how can we move more cars?
Right. I often see there are no sidewalks in many, many places in Atlanta's roadways or streets, certainly not bike lanes. But what happens here, it seems, is that, you know, while share the road may be the tagline, you find some examples of resistance, initiatives that effectively pit drivers against pedestrians and cyclists. What are some examples of those that you came up with?
Well, one of them there was a battle on over Peachtree Road, over restriping it a few years back, and GDOT had proposed putting in bike lanes, and that was met with a lot of resistance, especially from people who lived in the area, and they argued that it was going to cause traffic to back up, it was going to frustrate drivers, and it was going to send drivers onto residential side streets to try to bypass the gridlock. Mm-hmm. And with innovations like Waze and all these other apps, you hear that complaint more and more that, you know, my sleepy, quiet side street is now a cut through for everybody driving from Cobb and elsewhere to get to their office. There was such a bitter dispute over that they eventually, you know, scuttled the bike lane, GDOT did. And another example is DeKalb Avenue, where if you live in Atlanta and you drive on DeKalb Avenue, it really is kind of the city's craziest street. There's the unfortunately, you know, named suicide lane. People travel at high speeds. It's not really a great place to walk or to bike. And there have been discussions for years over what to do with that street. And I always love covering these meetings because passions are so high. I mean, these are some of the best community meetings to cover because people really care about this. And you have two very clear sides saying, I want this, I want that. But the answer is really kind of in between.
As it often is.
And we need both.
Well, there are some notoriously problematic spots. You mentioned DeKalb Avenue, especially in Metro Atlanta. In 2016, Alexia Heineman, she was a freshman at Grady High School, struck by a motorist while riding her bike in 2016. This was at the intersection of 10th Street and Monroe Drive, and she later died. So students from Grady High School are still rallying to improve this intersection, this complete streets programs. What is a Complete Streets program and how would that help?
Complete Streets programs really kind of look at a street for all users. How do you make it a street where it's safe to walk, it's safe to bike, it's safe to drive? We all pay for these streets, so we should all be able to use them. So think about like protected bike lanes, wide sidewalks, good lighting, crosswalks, maybe special signals at intersections that might be more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a complete street. It's kind of a beautiful thing if you're a wonk, because it's something that everybody can use and everybody can feel safe using. We need more of those in Atlanta. Atlanta is a city that is really retrofitting itself from being a city where people were leaving in the 70s and 80s and before that to a place where people are now coming back in very large numbers. And what worked back then is not working now.
Mm-hmm. So, but what about the cost for something like that? Installing more streetlights, creating bike lanes, beside the fact that you're taking away room from drivers?
It depends on what you want. Tactical urbanists have done some really cool things with just putting up planters separating traffic from bikes. You know, you can have a protected bike lane for about $30,000 a mile, I think. And then it can go up. I mean, if you want to have like the Rolls Royce of bike lanes, someone can do it for you. A lot of times those can be, you know, a fraction of a road project. And sometimes it's just, you know, like small things can do a lot. The issue becomes when, you know, we do things with city money, like building a pedestrian bridge over Northside Drive.
For the Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
For the Mercedes-Benz Stadium that was supposed to be used for the Super Bowl, and then it was closed for the Super Bowl until after the game. And when really you can do some pedestrian fixes on Northside Drive for just kind of a fraction of the cost.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about, I mean, talking with advocates, it's all about your priorities. And if you want to do something about it, you can budget the money for it.
Yeah, but of course that means who's got the political power, who's got the ear of those who are in power to do that kind of thing. And how's that stacking up? Are these organizations like TED's or Rebecca Cerner's organization, are they making a real difference?
They are. They definitely are. I mean, they have a lot of political power behind them, especially in the city, because it might be, while you might not be a avid bicyclists or bicyclist, or you might not be a really kind of gung-ho pedestrian, I suppose. But it's one of those things that once you notice it's an issue, a lot of people are on board with this. And there's a way to do it by respecting drivers and respecting bicyclists and respecting pedestrians. So I think they definitely have power.
But one of the things that you found is that people are pedestrians at some point in their commute, right?
Right.
That maybe they're not going all the way by foot, but some part of them is winding up on foot. Do you think there needs to be a rethink about, like, we're all pedestrians at some point?
Yeah, at some point we are. And especially if we want to live in the city, we're going to be pedestrians more and more. I believe it's something like 75% of all transit trips start with, you know, you start on your feet. We have to be thinking about how are we going to get around our city in a safe way.
Mm. Well, if you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Thomas Wheatley. He's articles editor for Atlanta Magazine, and he recently reported in the magazine on the rise of pedestrian and bicycle collisions in Atlanta and some efforts to change that. Well, I imagine if you have a bunch of high school kids rallying, that gets a lot of attention, certainly. So what have city officials and planners actually done to try and change things?
Well, this is definitely on the city's radar. The transportation plan has this concept that was started in Sweden called Vision Zero, that's kind of baked into the transportation plan. So there are a lot of plans for complete streets around the city. There's a lot of focus on, and this is really interesting, that I believe it's something like 6% of the city's roads are responsible for, I believe, 71% of the traffic-related fatalities.
Wow.
And 42% of the injuries, and that was between 2012 to 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So they can focus on those areas. They can also, you know, commit to the funding that they have available. We have the Renew Atlanta Infrastructure Bond Package that's going to be paying for a lot of these programs. There is some activity now where they're looking at the project costs because that money's not going as far as they hoped it would. So they can stick to this. You have a lot of city officials who really care about this. Tim Keene in the city planning department cares about it. Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms on the campaign trail, she said that this was something that she wanted to pay attention to. So it's definitely happening in the city. I think it's happening elsewhere in Metro Atlanta. It's just that I believe in the suburbs, it can be rather difficult because these were places that were designed really for automobile traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And as time goes on and you see trends of more and more poverty in the suburbs, there's going to be a need for more transit. There's going to be a need for more sidewalks for people who might not be able to own a car for them to get around. So it's a bit of a heavier lift.
Well, you talked a little bit about the population increase earlier in Atlanta. Of course, there's been a huge move to get people to have walkable cities, you know, people to be able to bicycle or scooters. How are scooters, by the way, fitting into this? They seem to have been a bane in the municipal, at least if you were looking at regulatory.
Yeah, what I find really interesting about scooters is that they have kind of showed us just through how people use them and people's behavior, how we're lacking in a lot of these kind of like pedestrian and bicycle facilities.
Mm-hmm.
If scooters had like protected bike lanes to travel on, I really think they would be using those more than sidewalks.
Mm.
You know, I mean, the fact that people are using sidewalks tells us that the city streets are not safe, that they really fear going down Peachtree or Piedmont Road and somebody's roaring behind them. So, I mean, I don't have any hard numbers on how many injuries have been caused by them or anything like that. But it's definitely like a new wrinkle in this whole debate.
So we have so many people. The success of the Beltline has shown that people want to be on bikes. They want to be on foot. Do you think that they're working there because they don't work on the streets of Atlanta? Is there something going on there?
Yeah. I mean, because the Beltline just feels safe. You don't feel like you're kind of taking your life into your hands.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel like you're slaloming through people sometimes. And there are some, you know, crazy people on bikes and you know, just crazy people walking. But it's definitely a sign that people want this. And we can't have a Beltline on every street, but we can have a place that gives you that same feeling.
There are a couple points that you brought up in the article that I really wanted to key in on. One is that oftentimes when we hear about a collision, you know, a driver says, I couldn't see the person. You know, it was dark or they came from nowhere or they weren't using a crosswalk. So we often get these things from the perspective of the driver. We're
right.
Very sort of driver focused. But you also got plenty of clapback, I guess, for
yeah.
advocating that pedestrians and cyclists need to learn how to share the road, too. What did you hear from both sides?
Well, and people made a very good point that that I was putting the burden on the people without power. And that is a solid criticism. And I'm of the perspective that people, yes, you need to know the rules of the road. You need to know that you shouldn't jump out in the street in random times. And you need to kind of you need to give drivers signals. But drivers also really need to be aware that they're operating this massive vehicle. And more people are operating larger, massive vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, SUVs are some of the biggest selling automobiles right now. And an SUV in a pedestrian fatality or a pedestrian collision is the injuries are much higher, much more severe. That we all need to really be thinking about how we're going to use this public asset. Everybody wants to get home, you know, but at what cost?
Right. So is there a difference? You were talking about, you know, how beautiful the streets could look and how the city is behind it, at least some segments. But is there a difference between a must-have investment here and this would be nice as far as city planners are concerned?
That's a great question. I really don't know the answer to that. There's a renewed focus at the city on equity, which has been a long time coming. but it's good to hear. A lot of the places where we're seeing a lot of these injuries and fatalities are happening in areas where there traditionally hasn't been much investment, and they're happening in areas like the west side of Atlanta, where you have a lot of people who don't own a car, who are one of those people who are making those, you know, they start their transit trips by walking to the bus stop or walking to MARTA. It would be really good and just for those investments to happen there. But you have to balance it out in terms of political power, in terms of cost. So I would not want to be in their shoes. it's just not fun.
Not in a car town. Thomas Wheatley, I want to thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thomas Wheatley is articles editor for Atlanta Magazine. He recently covered the rise in pedestrian and bicycle collisions in Metro Atlanta. And we're going to leave you with the Athens-based musician Lingua Franca and her song Gold Bike, as we remind you that you can always join our Facebook group and have conversations about the things that we talk about on the show. We'd love to hear your feedback. We'd love to hear if you are a biker and you feel like, well, drivers just don't pay attention. Or if you're a driver and you're sick of navigating the road and don't think, given the notoriously bad traffic of Atlanta, we need to give up more space for cyclists. So coming up, Georgia has the highest rate of new HIV infections per population. So how promising is President Trump's proposal to end its transmission? I'm Virginia Prescott. Stay with us for more of that on Second Thought. Cars be priceless jewels, but it's incredible what some pedaling exercise will do to tighten up your thighs and glutes. As if my derriere could be any more recognizable. I seen you staring at my derriere when I'm riding through. Or was you staring at my fairy glittered chariot like Harry?